Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Gospel passage just read from St. Matthew. Monday morning, you'll remember, it was back to work after a three-week break. And I imagine that many of you, like me, had become rather collar proud, as we call it, during those 3 weeks. We had thoroughly enjoyed the warmth of home and family and friends and the joy of Christmas mail, and it was a little bit difficult to return to work this Monday. I had to be on deck for class at 8 o'clock Monday morning. I like to walk to and from the seminary for classes. So this Monday I bundled myself up against the cold and set out about 7:30. The first part of the walk seemed to be a typical winter's morning experience. The usual cold and gloom as I headed along Coverdale Drive in a northerly direction, with the faculty homes and woods occupying the northern horizon, the woods looking rather bleak at this time of the year. But as I turned the corner at the Luther statue and began to head east, I suddenly became aware of the whole breathtaking beauty of this Monday morning. With the fields of snow in the foreground, purple columns of steam rising from the rooftops, and in the background, that whole eastern sky had a beautiful pink glow of the sunrise. And I became aware of that, and then as I looked up, I noticed that very bright in the eastern sky was the morning star, the planet Venus, as bright as I'd ever seen it. Any gloomy thoughts that morning were dispelled by that glorious sight. God's people in Isaiah's day had been going through a particularly gloomy period in their national history. The Assyrian king Tiglath-Pileser had captured Eion, Abel Beth-Maachah, Genoa, Kadesh, Hazor, Gilead and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried the people captive to Assyria. It was a time of great distress and anguish, as Isaiah tells us. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali had been brought into contempt. But Isaiah prophesied that in the latter time God would make glorious the way of the sea, Galilee of the Gentiles. Some 100 years went by, and in John the Baptist's day, as this prophet took up his ministry, the circumstances in Galilee and throughout that part of the world didn't look very promising. Galilee was a region where Gentiles outnumbered Jews at least 2 to 1. It was a region which had hardly produced any prophets, a region which did not have a reputation for good Judaism. It was a region known for harbouring the Zealot movement. It was a region ruled by that fox, Herod Antipas, who had just put John in prison. How could anything good come out of that region, as we heard in yesterday's text and sermon? How could the Galilee of the Gentiles be the region that would bring light for God's people? The Galileans, like all of us, were sitting in the land and the shadow of death. The wages of sin for them and for us is death. Death casts a long shadow over our lives. The older we get, the more we show the signs of death's approach, God's fitting judgment on each of us for our sins. But for the people of Galilee in John's day and for the whole world, God's grace was ushering in a bright new dawn, a glorious new time of salvation. Let's read some more from the text that Matthew quotes from Isaiah. And this whole context would have been in Matthew's mind. There will be no gloom for her that was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, thou hast increased its joy, they rejoice before thee. And then Isaiah goes on in the very same chapter, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. As John the Baptist, whom Jesus called a burning and shining lamp, had faded from the scene now that he had been arrested, at this point Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. Jesus, the one who said of himself, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Who also said of himself, I am the bright morning star. The one whom Zechariah called the day spring from on high, who would bring light, epiphany light, for those sitting in darkness and the shadow of death. Who would dispel the confusion, the restlessness, the gloom from our minds and hearts, and guide our feet into the way of peace. Finally, we notice that this epiphany takes place in Galilee of the Gentiles. Jesus is not only the glory of thy people Israel, but also the light of the Gentiles. Although St. Matthew is known as the gospel for the Jewish people primarily, at the same time, this theme keeps on ringing through in Matthew, the coming of the wise men and so forth, that this gospel is ultimately for all peoples, all the Gentiles. It's fascinating to see as we read on in the New Testament, beyond the gospels and into the epistles, that the word Gentile has a shift in meaning and comes to mean, instead of non-Jew, non-Christian. The light to lighten the Gentiles becomes the light to lighten the non-Christian, the heathen. Here in this great Epiphany text, we hear the great mission task of the church being sounded out, that joyful mission task that is placed before us today as well. And so we pray for ourselves and for the whole world. Brightest and best of the stars of the morning, dawn on our darkness and lend us your aid. Star of the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer is laid. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.